The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in again. And as you guys have been learning very quickly on our social media, Facebook and now Instagram, by the way, that our Generations Magazine February-March issue is out, featuring the lovely Benny and Faith Agbayani. But don't get, you know, your judgment of the front cover. That's an older picture of them, and we put it on there because it really shows them in their prime. They used to go to Las Vegas for national contests and have actually won. So thanks to Benny and Faith there. And yes, he is the father and the parents of Benny Agbayani Jr., the famous baseball player from Hawaii that actually played for New York Mets, believe it or not. I know Boston and New York Mets don't get along that well. But anyway, so welcome to the show. You know, we have a special guest all the way from Boston. That's why I mentioned that. And a topic that has been on a lot of people's minds, a topic about actually for several years for the magazine, about having the conversation about end-of-life options and from all different aspects. But so we have before I forget, I want to introduce the person that brought her here, Hope Young from Kukua Mau. So Hope, introduce yourself and let us know what Kukua Mau is.
Hi, Percy. So Kukua Mau is a coalition of hospice and palliative care organizations. We are a network, and we are so happy that we were able to bring Reverend Rosemary Lloyd from the Conversation Project to Hawaii so that she could do some public presentations about the conversation, having the conversation, and how faith and healthcare can intercede and come together.
Yeah, that's a great explanation of it, because it's really having that conversation. When I first heard about this, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, when I first went to Kukua Mau meetings, it was very interesting how the approach to having that discussion. That's why it's called the Conversation Project. So welcome to the show, Rosemary.
Thanks, Percy. Great to be here. Great to be in Hawaii.
Have you been to Hawaii before?
This is my first trip, excited and really grateful to Kukua.
You're going to be able to get to the other islands at all?
We're going to Maui on Friday for a couple of presentations, and then when I'm wrapped up here on Monday, I'm going to be on vacation on the Big Island for a few nights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't get too close to the volcano now.
I'm hoping to get pretty close.
Well, you know, it's been in the news, so it's public, but one of the guides passed away, died because he got too close to the fumes. And he has actually, not to scare you, but the two people he was guiding survived. He did not, however. So we've had stories about helicopters flying over, trying to take pictures, and the cameraman fall in. So not to scare you, but it's a great...
And you are, because she's staying at the Volcano House.
I'm staying. Oh. And I just booked a helicopter ride with the doors off.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe I should change the plan.
No, just...
I'll just have the conversation with my husband before I get on that helicopter.
Just make sure you do not unhook your belt to reach out for a nice picture or a selfie with the lava behind you. But it's great. I've been there. It's just fantastic. It's nothing like any place you ever see.
That's why I want to go.
It's active. And I'll tell you a story off air about how the best way to view it. But anyway, so welcome. So the topic's going to be, see, this show is always fun. And people love us conversation off the cuff and live. But anyway, so the Conversation Project, when I first heard about it, give us, our listeners, a little bit of background on the project, how it started and all that.
Okay, great. This is what I love to share. So the Conversation Project is a nonprofit organization, but we are a national public engagement campaign. What we're up to is encouraging people to express their wishes for care at the end of life so that those wishes can be respected. So that's really the base of it, that people say we're afraid to talk about it, we don't know how to talk about it. So we're here with free tools and tips and workshops and people like Kukua Mau all over the country helping to get the conversation out, to normalize the conversation so we can all be talking about this a little bit more, being more open about it with our kids and with our elders, with ourselves, embracing the reality of our mortality, but making sure that at the end if we can't speak for ourselves, someone knows what we want and they'll respect that.
Well, I think you're a little younger than me, so you're probably not a baby boomer.
Oh, I am.
Oh, you're a baby boomer. Okay, yeah. So you know baby boomers, we're not going to die. You know that, right?
You know, I know there's going to be an exception made in my case, maybe yours too. But no, I think that what I heard was that the mortality rate's holding steady at 100% person.
Yeah. Well, I was there's a very famous gerontologist, Dr. Ken Dykewald.
The silver tsunami.
Yeah, I'll tell you, an age wave. And he said there's somebody on this, living on this earth today that's going to live to be 150 years old.
You like that idea?
I mean, I'm just saying he said that. I mean, I'm going to live a long time. I'm very active. Yeah. Unfortunately, I played a lot of sports when I was younger. So my body's slowly, I wouldn't say breaking down, but I'm just definitely slowing down physically.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to swim 3 to 4 days a week.
Right. And we can do a lot to take care of ourselves, right, and maybe mitigate some of the effects of aging. But it's inexorable. It's going to happen, right? Yeah. Things are going to break down. And we are going to die.
So hopefully when you're on your second visit to Hawaii, you'll explain to us the differences that you see around Hawaii versus other parts of the country. Have you heard differences about how Hawaii is?
Well, Hope was telling me that you have an average life expectancy that's longer than the rest of the country.
Yes.
And what do you think that's all about besides the fabulous weather and all the kindness that I have encountered?
Well, I think the study that came out last week was Hawaii was 48th or 49th in terms of cost of living. It was very low rated on I believe government programs, but they were number one in quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And University of Hawaii did a study several years ago where they studied Japanese living in Hawaii versus Japanese living in Japan,
mm-hmm,
Chinese living in China versus Chinese living in Hawaii, Filipinos and Okinawans, all that, and including Caucasians living here and on the mainland, because we have a lot of military here. They live longer here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to be the beautiful weather.
Well, that's one.
And the aloha spirit that I've been around. And what's the third one?
The third one, believe it or not, they did a presentation at the Capitol. I'm not too sure. You're not going to be here next Friday. But the first Friday of every month, and we put it in a magazine, is a thing called a meeting called Kupuna Caucus. It's at the Capitol. We meet the first Friday of almost every month. And we discuss the issues on aging and what issues that we need to talk for the government to start working on. And several years ago, Dr. B.J. Kim did a report, and he shocked everybody. And I've been in the field for 15 years, and the reason why we live longer here in Hawaii, anywhere on this island alone, we're 20 minutes from hospital.
Oh, wow. So you get access to care quickly.
Quickly. But I think as a whole, I think our hospitals are very good here.
Mm-hmm.
Our Medicare, Medicaid plans are very good here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think in general, I think we're more attuned to staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you like a lot of ethnic foods, but we have the best food in the country, hands down.
There's been some great food so far.
You know, hands down. I lived in the East Coast, I lived in West Coast, I lived in Korea, I lived in Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, the food is much, much better here. You know, you heard of a Triple D? The show?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been here several times.
Yeah.
You know, it's just unique. I think the food really makes a big difference. But,
well, there's so many great influences coming into one place, right? So that's, I think, what makes things interesting. We get more complex flavors. But it also makes for a complex culture, too, right? I mean, you have a lot of ethnic differences here, and people come together, and you want to be able to respect everyone in those hospital systems. How's that going for the hospitals?
It's a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I believe there's another project. Hawaii Pacific Health and I think Kaiser on the mainland is taking it on, not here. There's another process when talking about end of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, it's on the tip of my tongue. I'll find it before the show ends. I'll find out my
the letter project.
No,
it's not
respecting choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great organization.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, they're going to get mad at me, but there's three phases.
Yes.
And they only bought into the third phase.
Okay. So this is an ongoing conversation. I mean, we partner with all kinds of organizations. There are many, many, many organizations,
right,
working on this. What we think we do that's unique is that we're more out there in the community, way upstream, talking,
right,
having people talk about,
right,
this, what matters most at all aspects of their,
right,
life, whether you're not ever too young or too healthy to have this conversation. We talked yesterday at the Iolani School with a faculty person there who is talking with second graders.
Oh, you went to Iolani School?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We've done stories on them.
Yeah, and they're working with just kind of normalizing that we can talk about that, you know, like plants, like animals, like everything else. Things live and things die, and what matters most, and cultivating, because, you know, this is a conversation that people put off. But what we have found is when you engage in the conversation about what matters most to you, about the end of your life, you are first talking about what matters most while you're living. And that's a very intimate conversation, and it builds relationships. And it also reminds you, okay, I'm alive now. How do I want to live now? Okay? And we want to find ourselves saying things like, I love you more, or I'm sorry, or thank you, or please forgive me, right? That would be so wonderful if we walked around all the time with that little thought in the back of our heads, this is the day I have to live my best life possible. What do I need to do today to go to bed well? And, you know, if I wake up tomorrow, great. And if I don't, I'm okay. Things are complete. Wouldn't that be a great way to live?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was just talking to Mike Buck. Mike Buck is the daytime DJ here on AM 690 and Monday to Friday. We were just talking about it before you guys came in when you texted me, is that I work with seniors and I see all the different ages and I see all different lifestyles, and we see the ones that are happy, sad, live in regret, or depressed. Mm-hmm. And we both said the same thing, you know, we want to live today.
Live today. But sometimes it takes work to be able to die without regrets, you know, fixing some relationships. But if you start living today, every day, you're going to die with fewer regrets.
Yeah. So, like I said, next time you come back, we would like to open you up to a lot thing. In fact, we do a big workshop every year.
Mm-hmm.
This year is August 18th, Saturday, at the Alamon Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You're more than welcome to come back.
I'd be happy to come back.
We get about 3,000 people come, and they sit for probably a minimum of 4 hours. Mm-hmm. We have 6 rooms going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So we do 18 workshops in the morning, and we replay most of them in the afternoon.
Wow. Do you include Kukua Mau in the conversation
project?
We have
in the past,
mm-hmm.
But if you come back, we might be able to hold a slot for you. Otherwise, you might want to come back. I was last year's president of this organization called Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society.
Mm-hmm.
And this year is a conference year. We do a conference every other year, and this year is a conference year. So I'm actually the conference chair.
Wonderful.
And so we might want to think about if you're able to and somebody can bring you back, love to have you be one of our speakers, because we're looking for speakers right now.
Well, I can be a speaker, certainly, but, you know, both Hope and Jeanette at Kukua Mau are really well-trained in this. They've done all of our speakers training. They're actually the experts, and they know what's going on here in the culture to modify whatever we have so that this conversation can be brought to the people of Hawaii. So they are actually very good at this.
Oh, yeah. We've had Jeanette before. But anyway, so I have your little PowerPoint presentation in front of me, and I'm just looking through that. Now, you provide a booklet.
Yeah, we have a variety of free tools that people can download from our website at any time, because what happens is people say, we have statistics that say people really, really want to talk about this. We did some surveys, and we just did a follow-up survey. It shows the same thing. 90% of Americans say they think it's really important to have a conversation about what matters most and about the kind of care that they want through the end of their lives. But guess how many people are actually talking about it?
Right, what? 25%.
Very good, 27%. So there's a big gap there, right? People are not doing it. And so why aren't they doing it?
Too busy.
Too busy?
I have more important things,
mm-hmm.
even though 90% of people think it's really important.
Right. Yeah. Things get in the way. Or how do I bring it up? I don't even know what to talk about. It's such a big topic. So we have a free starter kit, a conversation starter kit. And it has it frame the conversation by asking you questions for yourself. So this isn't about bullying mom into telling you what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
You have to first do this for yourself. So you work through the workbook. It's just a few pages long, 10 pages long, with some information. It puts you through some simple exercises and asks you what's most important to you about who do you want to have around? How much privacy do you need? Do you want to know everything? Or would you rather your doctor just makes all the decisions and, you know, don't bother you with this information? And it's just a way to get the conversation going. And it also talks to you about, well, who do you need to have the conversation with? Who would you have the conversation with, Percy?
I've had a conversation with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys are different, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I've heard it's true, yeah.
Guys are different how they feel about death.
Yeah. I think everyone feels kind of like, I don't really like it.
I've talked to I have conversations with this with a lot of my clients, and women seem to be more open.
Yes, I mean, that's not true. So much. That's true, and they're really our target audience for this because they are the healthcare decision makers, usually for several generations. They are maybe the daughters who have to make decisions for their parents, for their spouses, and then for their children as well. So yeah, and they are more open about it.
And so I saw one of your slides here is about having to talk with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? How does that go?
Well, one thing that's great, you were talking about how fabulous the healthcare system is here. There's a new provision in the Medicare provisions that will actually reimburse your doctor for having a conversation with you. So before, they're so busy, they feel like, oh, we can't have a meaningful conversation. But if you're prepared before you go in and you actually let your doctor know, I want to talk about this with you, they can get reimbursed and give you a little more time in your visit.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? You just tell them, or you have to bring in your booklet? Or?
It's helpful if you've done the booklet ahead of time, because imagine if I said to you, so, Percy, what's most important to you? It takes a moment to reflect a little bit. It's not just necessarily there on the tip of your tongue, although I heard a story about a daughter who asked her dad about this as he's going into a serious, serious surgery. He's going to have, like, surgery in his neck area that might leave him paralyzed. And just before he goes in, well, Dad, what if something happens and I have to make decisions for you? What's the most important thing? And he said, honey, because clearly he's thought about this, as long as I can watch football on TV and swallow chocolate ice cream, I'll fight for that life. So fight for me if I can do that. And guess what? Something went wrong. And the doctor said, we have to take him back in. He was in the recovery room. We have to take him back in or he'll bleed to death. He says, what should we do? And the daughter had like 30 seconds to decide. And she said, well, what will he be like if you do this? Well, he'll probably be paralyzed, the doctor said. And she paused, and then she said, will he be able to swallow chocolate ice cream and watch football on TV? And the doctor probably blinked on the other end of the phone. He said, yes, we think he will be able to do that. So she said, then take him back in and try and save his life. Now, they saved his life, and he was indeed paralyzed rehabbed and was able to use his arms later. But the thing is, who made that decision?
He did.
He made that decision. And because they had that conversation, she was able to preserve his voice and his choice for him.
But did he have to put that in some kind of documentation?
You know what? Documentation is great, and in Hawaii you have the Hawaiian Advance Directive, which is a legal form that assigns someone who can be your agent, the person who speaks for you. But the truth is, we don't walk around with those pieces of paper all the time, right? They're not just in our purses, they're not on our bodies. In that quick moment when a decision has to be made, what we learned from asking clinicians all over the country, what do you need? They said, we need to know who's had a conversation with this patient and can decide for them. And they'll take that. The document's very helpful if there's a question or a debate or people are like, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that, or two siblings are fighting because, like, you told your wife, right, what you want. Do you have any siblings or any kids?
Yeah, I have one son and I have a big, very big family. So she has a relatively big family too.
Okay. So other people are in your circle of care, people who have a stake in your well-being. Mm. And what you don't want for your poor wife, if, God forbid, she has to be making some decisions for you, is that someone else steps in and says, I don't think that's what Percy would have wanted, right? So telling a couple of people in your life, support her if she has to make this decision. I told her this is what I want, and I've also written it down in my advance directive.
But doesn't the hospital keep a copy of the advance directive, the doctor or the hospital?
If it's been completed.
Yeah. If I think Kaiser is pretty good at
Kaiser
that.
Kaiser is really good about that. They actually have promoted that.
Too.
HPH is also really good about that.
Wipers of Health.
Queens has been making strides with that. All these different organizations, they have it. But it's of no use if it hasn't been done and if there hasn't been a conversation done.
And there's another little glitch that happens because of technology and because of privacy issues. You might have your document that one time you went to Queens and you had that put in that system, but now you've been admitted to Kaiser over here and they're not part of the same system. Guess what? They don't have a system where they can click, click, click and, go online and find this.
Fortunately, it doesn't happen that often here in Hawaii, but I know it does happen.
It does happen, and we're working at the Conversation Project, and we have an umbrella organization called the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. We're working with hospitals all over the country to try and get this to be, we call it the allergy analogy. Like if you go to your doctor or your PA, your nurse practitioner, you can't get into an appointment without them saying, do you have any allergies? Right? Every time you go, no matter how many times, do you have any allergies? And if you say yes, they don't just move on. They say, well, what are you allergic to? Why? They want to avoid doing any harm.
Right.
We would like this question to be one of those kinds of questions. Do you have a healthcare agent? Yes. Who is it? How do we contact them? Have you had a conversation? Where's your advance directive? So that goes way up, just like that big red thing for if you have allergies. Now you have maybe another color. You know, you have a healthcare directive. You have a healthcare agent, and we can find it because we want people to be able to steward those wishes all the way through the system, mm-hmm. whether you're at your primary care docs, in an ambulance, critical care, or a nursing home.
Yeah. And I think you're talking to some doctors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully does it have to come from a doctor or does it have to come from the hospital?
The record?
Well, trying to implement that question.
That's a multi-dimensional issue. That's a government issue. That's, you know, that's a hospital system issue. That's the local medical society mm-hmm. saying this is important to us. And part of it is also us being an activated public that says, I want to have this conversation. I want you to put that in my record. I want you to tell me that you can find it again when you're going to need it.
Are there any states that have a law like that?
I don't know the answer to that. They actually have a law. There are some states that are working on statewide directories. Some of them are working at it countywide. We did a program down in Maryland, Howard County, Maryland, where they're trying to get everyone's records for their healthcare directives in one electronic system that any provider can access, including EMTs.
Well, so you have to come back one of the first Fridays of the month to talk to Kupuna Caucus and say, hey, maybe we should do that. And I think Hope and Jeanette can probably do that. Come, you should really come and find one of the politicians, whether it's a senator or a House representative, to really champion that thought. Because
well, you have a great senator, right, that is really a big champion of this.
Bella Dilati is really behind all of our activities. She's a member of Kukuamau as well.
Yeah.
We have a few connections out there. So.
Well, then you got to get here to move on it.
There's two of us.
Yeah, well... We only meet once a month on the first Friday of the month. You really need to come down because she's not in a high attendance of the Kupuna Caucus meetings at all. I've only seen her maybe once or twice
a
year.
She's out of town a lot, right? Yeah, she's in.
Well, if it's important, I'm very adamant about it. If it's important to you, it should be important to you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's important to you, it should be important to your community.
Yeah.
And it's really important.
Yeah, well, it is an important conversation for so many reasons, right? We want to be able to respect people's wishes. We want people to, as Atul Gawande, he's like that wonderful doctor who's written a book called Being Mortal. Have you talked about that book in your magazine?
I've heard about it.
You should really take a look at this because he's amazing. It's Being Mortal, and it talks about aging in America and dying. And
who wrote the book?
His name is Atul, A-T-U-L. Uh-huh. Gawande, G-A-W-A-N-D-E. He's a Boston-based surgeon.
Right.
He writes a lot for magazines. He was the guy who came up with the checklist. So he borrowed the idea from pilots who, whenever they get in the plane, they have a checklist for safety mm-hmm. reasons. He said, you know, we're making too many mistakes in the operating room. We should have a checklist. Like, if you're going to remove a part of a person's body, let's make sure we mark it and have someone else initial it and double check it by another person. And they have a whole checklist of, is this the right patient? Is this the left side or the right side? Your left or my right? Oh, let's both check.
Oh, it does happen every once in a while.
So he wants to, and it has eliminated errors in the operating room with hospitals that use that by tremendous amounts. So now he's having a similar influence on having this conversation and normalizing this conversation, telling stories, but also getting people to say, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility as a doctor to ask about it, but it's your responsibility to
yes.
make me have this conversation with you. Because,
yep.
you know, doctors, unfortunately,
6 minutes per visit.
And not well trained on having this conversation.
Well, so I'm glad I know you're going to be talking to some doctors and some clergy mm-hmm. while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, so we're here with Rosemary Lloyd from the Conversation Project and Hope Young from the Kukuamau. And we're having a conversation about this new project. Well, it's not a new project.
5 years old.
5 years old. But you're so passionate about this project and getting out there and mm-hmm. you're traveling around the country. What got you involved in this project?
Oh, let's see. I think it started because I grew up with four grandparents living in my childhood home. So I saw a lot of different ways of getting old and dying. So that probably made me comfortable with the issue in the first place. I worked as a nurse, and I saw patients kind of not knowing up until the very end just how very sick they were because the healthcare system wasn't talking. That was a long, you know, that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, you're a reverend, right?
And now I'm a minister. I kind of made another change in my career because I really wanted to work with people. I call it working upstream, when they're well, when they're thinking about other things, about how to live better lives, to also talk about this idea that you're mortal and your life could be a whole lot better if you paid attention to that. So I was doing that, and then I heard about the Conversation Project and that they wanted to reach people where they lived, worked, and prayed, and I thought, you know, I could help you out with that. And wow. I got involved, and that's what I do full-time now.
And are you from Boston?
I'm originally from Long Island in New York.
Oh, okay. Oh. So we're here with, like I said, with Rosemary Lloyd from the Conversation Project. I know it's been on a topic at our Capitol this year with legislation regarding the Death with Dignity Bill. But anyway, we'll be here. We'll be right back to a short break, and then we're going to have more of a conversation with Rosemary Lloyd. So we'll take a short break.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar, there's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Bet you find it at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious 1 and 2 bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilimaatlehano.com. Or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit VoidVacationsHawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777
We go play.
Complete 4 5-night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today, here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. And so thank you very much for tuning in this Saturday and Sunday, depending on when you're listening to us. And don't forget, we have our own social media page, Facebook, and we started Instagram about 3.5 weeks ago. So thanks to Carter, our 20-year-old phenom social media guy, 20 years old. I mean, he's amazing. But anyway, check us out. We regularly post there. And as you guys know, we started Generations TV show on a Spectrum OC16. Actually, it's on Channel 12, though. And it's been doing very well. Thank you for all the calls and emails. We've actually gotten people on the mainland watching our show. Isn't that amazing?
That's cool.
Spectrum has it on their website, I guess, and people search around. And I got getting calls from Southern California that, you know, I'm 65 years old, and God, this is great. I've never seen anything like that. I said, well, it's because there aren't a whole lot of shows like this anywhere in the United States that we have found. And I've been to the East Coast and West Coast, and I just went to Arizona recently. I'll be going to San Diego in about 3 weeks. So thank you very much for tuning in and listening. And please, all we can ask is that if you like it, pass it on to your friends, neighbors, and friends from church and work. And, you know, caregiving is like everybody's going to be going through that. And that's one of the biggest topics we face. But another big topic is, it's called the Conversation Project, and we're talking with Rosemary Lloyd and Hope Young from Kukuamau. So Rosemary, the Conversation Project, I actually have the book at home, the handout that you gave me. I think, I'm not sure if you or Jody gave it to me. I was at some, I saw you at Aging in Place, I think, maybe, I don't know where. And we had, the bookers were there.
Yeah.
And I have it. I have not actually filled it out, to be honest with you. But my wife and I have both talked about this. I want Earth, Wind, and Fire to be played.
Funeral. Knowing your playlist is good.
Great food. I don't want to live that long. But for men that, you know, like I said, I find men are not as open, especially the older Asian men, not to be
stereotyping.
Stereotyping, but it's true. How do you get that conversation going? How do you stimulate them to open up? Because it is something that for a lot of men, I mean, it's getting better, but for a lot of men, it's hard. Mm-hmm. You can't blame them.
No, we don't want to do any blaming. I think reminding people about a couple of things helps. Men have been providers for their families. One of the things that they want to be able to do is make sure everybody's okay, right? So one of the ways you make sure everyone's okay if you can't speak for yourself or as you get to the end of your life is making sure that they're not left in the dark, that they're not blindsided by, you know, that all these decisions they may have to make. You know, back in the day, it used to be you lived and then you died, right? Because we didn't have a lot of great medical interventions. We didn't have antibiotics. Now what happens is only 10% of us are going to die suddenly. That means 90% of us are going to live for a long time, probably with a chronic illness of some kind or with great old age, and things happen. So you live, something happens, you kind of go down the mountain a little bit, but then you come back up almost at the same level. But it goes like this. We live a little bit longer and we take these steps down the mountain. Lots of decisions have to be made. 75% of people over 65 will at some point be admitted to an emergency room or a hospital because something has happened,
right,
and they cannot make their own decisions. So it could be a fall, it could be a medication error, it could be early onset dementia, stroke, heart attack. You want to make sure, so for a man, we'd say if we want to stereotype, control is important. How will you have control? How will you preserve your autonomy and what you want for you, unless you've told somebody? So it's like you've got to tell somebody. You've got to have a conversation about it.
Yep.
And I had a guy, I talked to the guy the other day, and I asked, we had the first exercise, which was you close your eyes and just, you know, think for a minute, reflect. Don't just make it a quick, like, whatever. You sit and you think about this. When it comes to the end of my life, what matters the most to me? And you have to reflect on that. And this guy wrote down one sentence. I want to die with dignity. And I said to him, okay, I like the color blue. What does that mean to you? Everybody gets a different picture, right? Sky blue, azure, turquoise.
I'm colorblind, so it means a lot.
Okay, all right. It means a lot of different things. I said, I have to say what shade of blue. You have to say what dignity means to you. So
exactly.
I think for men who want dignity, who want to preserve their control, who want to take care of their families and not have them left in the dark, they've got to do the thing that they've always done. They've got to step up, and they've got to do this, even though it's hard.
That's a great way to put it. We'll have to get that back on film, because it's really true about how the respect, but also they want to be in control. And it's really important. Is there a certain age that people need to start working on this project?
You know,
you said 65. So
well, no. You can't be too young to start this conversation. Yeah. Absolutely, you cannot be too young. In fact, fact is, 18 is a good time to make sure you have your advance directive completed in Hawaii. Why? Well, if something happens to you, like you're surfing, you fall, you hit your head, you're unconscious, who's going to make decisions for you? You think your parents are going to step in? Guess what? The hospital's hands are tied. You're an adult. You don't have a healthcare agent. They're not supposed to actually talk to you because they're protecting your privacy.
Well, they have responsibility to save you. That's right.
They have a responsibility to save you. And, of course, we want you to do everything you can to save an 18-year-old, right? You want that to restore them to the best life possible. And the chances are really good, especially since here in Honolulu, you're only 20 minutes away from a hospital. So chances are really good that will happen. Still, decisions have to be made. And healthcare would like to be able to consult with a decision maker if the patient can't speak for themselves. So you're never too young. And I think it's easier to talk to someone when they are young and well about what matters. So it can be a continuum of a conversation. We should have called our project the Conversations Project. It's because it's not one and done.
Right.
You know, you're 58 now. What is important to you now
will be different later on.
Will be different later on. Something could happen. A diagnosis could happen. Other things could happen in your life that changed your attitude about it. You were telling me that Ken Dyson says we're going to live. Someone who's alive today is going to live to be 150.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't want to live that long. I just cared for both of my parents lived into their 90s, and they both died in the last year. And I looked and I thought they lived good lives. They were healthy most of their lives. My mom was playing golf last January. She died in September. So, you know, 93 and still playing golf, that would be great, right? But not everyone can live that well.
Right.
And you want to be able to say what's important to you.
Absolutely. So that person that, that let's say signs a medical directive or is the
agent, the healthcare agent.
Who is that normally? Is that normally your wife or a spouse or?
So a lot of people assume it has to be your spouse or it has to be your next of kin. Do you want to say something about that, Hope?
Well, here in Hawaii, it doesn't automatically default to your next of kin. We have a hui system. So whoever is involved or wants to be involved in your care has the opportunity to speak up. So I like to tell people, you want to make sure that the people who will be there, who will show up, know what your wishes are, because usually it's the loudest person in the room is who the hospital is going to start listening to. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that person knows what your wishes are. But it's even better if you have it documented so that they automatically talk to that person.
Right. You want someone who's your healthcare agent who's got a good spine, like who's can stand up to the system and who could stand up to the loudest person in the room. You want to pick someone. In fact, we have a special kit on our website. Again, you can download this at theconversationproject.org or go to the Kukua Mau website where they also have these free conversation starter kit guides that guides you through the process. There's one that says how to be and how to choose a healthcare proxy, which is another word for agent or durable power of attorney. So you want someone who can stand up. You want someone who has had a conversation with you and understands what you want. And then you say to them, honey, this is what I want. Can you do that for me? Now, some people will say, oh, no, I could never do that. I would want you here in whatever state you're in, even though you don't want that. So you say, okay, then you're not going to be my healthcare agent.
Well, when you're talking about a life and death situation, it's tough for anybody. And unless you have firsthand experience, I mean, I could tell you, yes, I would be very good at that. But I've been in people's deathbeds, and it's not easiest thing to do.
It's not the easiest. And you know, for years my spouse was my healthcare agent. And then I heard a woman at one of the workshops that I lead. We Kukua Mau does this. I do this all over the country. But Kukua Mau can come into your organization and lead a workshop for people because it's so much easier in a group because then you have people supporting you and it feels like a fun thing to do, actually, believe it or not. But a woman at a workshop said to me, oh, I would never have my husband do this. And I was like, why? She said, his job is to hold my hand and cry. And he'll be such a puddle of tears that he won't be able to make any decisions. And I smacked myself on the head. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's my guy. He won't be able to make these decisions. And I went home and I said, honey, let's talk about this again. And I changed my healthcare agent. I have three children and three adult children. And I asked them, you know, do you think you could do this? And my son, who's the middle child, said, I can do that. So, we heard about this.
Was your husband okay with that?
Oh, yeah. He was relieved. Uh-huh. He said, oh, I have felt so burdened by this.
Wow.
Very interesting. Yeah. But, I mean, your medical director, advanced medical director, will have a lot of decisions already made by you.
They will, right? Or they can. And this is another thing, Percy, the reason why I think the Conversation Project is a great way to start is we don't start talking about the medical decisions because, you know, I actually am a medical professional, but most of us aren't and don't know what those decisions entail. We don't understand what it means to be intubated or have a breathing machine or to have
What's
artificial.
Intubated
is a tube that's put down your throat to help your lungs expand and fill with air. So you can't talk if you're intubated. So if you're unconscious, you've had a stroke, very often you have to have this tube in to make you breathe.
Okay.
It's a very challenging situation. But we don't understand when that's a good thing to do and when it's a futile thing to do. So the Conversation Project has, and it's also scary to talk about those things because that's really talking about, oh, you mean I wouldn't be able to like talk? I couldn't breathe on my own. I'm not really conscious and you're feeding me because I can't swallow. You're feeding me through a tube. That shuts the conversation down pretty fast for a lot of people. But if you start with what matters to you, Percy, like if you were coming to the end of your life, who should be there with you? Where do you want to be? A lot of people say they want to be at home.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? 70% of Americans say, I want to be at home. Guess where we're actually dying?
Hospital,
ER, nursing home, in the ambulance going back and forth between the rehab center and someplace. So that's a gap between what we think is going to happen and what's actually happening because we haven't said so. And so people suffer. They're like, that's not what my mom wanted. She always wanted to be home, but I didn't know how to work out that.
Very true. And so I know you're going to be talking to the church ministries groups. How does that conversation go with the pastors and people inside the church? How are they dealing with this? Are they happy to do this? Are they embracing it? And are the churches here in Hawaii hope that are doing this at all?
No, and that's really what we wanted to get Rosemary doing is
get them
all started, get them, you know, excited about this and helping their people. That's what we really want to do is just instill that excitement, get them started, get the tools for them so that they know how to go about doing this, and then get the public talking about these things, because it's really important that it's a way to come together, not only as a congregation, but as support for each other within the community. So that's what we really want to make sure Rosemary is able to do with all the clergy that she'll be talking to.
And you're speaking to them Monday.
Monday, there's a clergy breakfast being sponsored by Kukua Mau and Pacifica Ministries. Oh. And if there are any clergy out there listening, where can they join us?
They can actually email us at info@kukuamau.com. And we will be sure to give them all the information that they'd like.
Great. I'd love to see some of my colleagues there, because I've learned a lot over the last 4 years traveling around the country, talking to faith leaders of every denomination. And sometimes it's a little bit of a sell. Like, I have a friend in Boston who's a minister, and she said to me, Rosemary, you know, all my people want to go to heaven, but none of them want to die to get there, and they sure don't want to talk about it. So she wasn't so ready for this. But in other congregations, we've seen people say, oh, of course, we've taken care of babies, you know, when they come into our community, and we escort them out when they die. Why shouldn't we be talking about what happens in between, about how you want to live and how you want to die? So they're finding our tools very useful, and we have a free guide for congregational leaders, lay leaders or clergy leaders, how to do this in your congregation. We have a campaign called Conversation Sabbath, where we invite clergy to preach about this just before Thanksgiving, so because families are going to get together, share some food. So maybe you want to talk about this when you're all together. We have sermons posted online, so if you don't even want to write your own sermon, we have about 12 sermons with permission from the authors. You can borrow, steal, take a weekend off, and just stand up and deliver that one. So,
at the Conversation or Conversation Project?
At theconversationproject.org. There's a resource center with all kinds of information, all of our free starter kits and the sermons and how to get started in congregations with a couple of videos. You get to see me live, you know.
Oh, you have
with
videos?
A different haircut.
Do you have a video doing a sermon?
I have a video of me talking to clergy. That's what we can share with you.
Yeah, that's something. That I think would be very good.
They're very short. We also have a great video on how to get started talking by first talking in the mirror. So
it's practice great. Makes perfect, right?
Practice makes perfect. Like this guy, he starts off saying, so, Mom, I just finished watching Game of Thrones, and I know that everybody dies. Like, is that a good starter? Probably not. But he might start saying, remember what happened to Aunt Maria? I don't want that to happen to you. Can we talk?
That's a great way to start. Let me know if I can go. I would like to hear you, because I'm not sure what my weekend is going to be like. But I think Monday morning might be interesting to go, because I think it's really important. My church I've been going to for 15, 14 years. I really want them to get going on this, let alone doing more workshops with their seniors in Kupuna, because from what I've read and researched, a lot of the older people start coming back to the church.
Yes.
It's a safe place. It's trusted. And all the churches, you know, there's so many great resources that, yeah, we got to add another resource, but I think it's a very important resource.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, clergy, like doctors, are the people that sick people come to. Like, you get a diagnosis or someone's, you know, dying in your family, you go to talk to your clergy person. But like doctors also, they were not very well trained during their seminary days on how to have these conversations. So the starter kit is also a tool for them to practice doing it first themselves so they understand the challenges and the blessings in it. And then saying, oh, I feel more comfortable sharing this with you, Percy. Why don't you take this home fill it out, and then let's talk about what your answers are in this. And then maybe we can talk about having a family meeting where we could all talk about this. So there are lots of great opportunities. And like you, you're not the clergy leader, right? But you'd be interested in moving this forward in your community. So talking with your clergy leader and saying, I have a passion for this. I can put a team together. You don't have to do anything except make sure I get on the calendar and I get a room and you don't get in my way. But we'll carry this for you and make our community life better together.
You know, I was looking at one of the questions you had regarding different situations about what do you do with somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia? How does that conversation go and how do you deal with the family?
Hope you guys have been doing some work in this area. But I'm happy to take this.
So, you know, it's really hard to do an advance directive for someone who's been diagnosed, but that doesn't mean the conversation shouldn't be had. You can have periods of lucidness where they can tell you what's important to them. You can have discussions and you can really advocate on their behalf. And it's still a matter of what's important to them, what their values are, you know, and being that advocate for them. The document itself, you really can't do it once they've been diagnosed,
right.
But the conversations are really important to keep having for as long as you can have them.
Right. So we also have a free guide that's available through Kukua Mau or through our website at theconversationproject.org, which helps guide families in thinking through those questions. And there's probably no disease process where it's more important to have the conversation sooner rather than later. You know, we always think it's too soon until it's too late. And that's especially true with dementia or Alzheimer's disease. As hard as it may be, you know, you can't be in denial about this, that it's a predictable progression of losing your capacity to make decisions for yourself. So talking early on with your loved one and to find out what is most important, or coming together as a family and saying, let's not talk about what you want for Dad or what I want, but let's talk about what we think Dad would have wanted in this situation and come to some agreement together so we're not fighting at the end. You know, the whole conversation project started because Ellen Goodman, who's the founder of the Conversation Project, her mom had late onset dementia. And Ellen said, my mom couldn't decide what she wanted for lunch, much less what she wanted for health care. Right? That's a hard thing, but it's true. And she said, and I was her health care agent, and I didn't know what she wanted. But I had to make all these decisions. When she fell and she broke her hip, she didn't understand what surgery was. Was I going to put her through surgery? She didn't know that she should stay in the bed. Am I going to have her tied down? Oh, with Alzheimer's, sometimes people aspirate. They get food stuck and they get pneumonia. And so how often do you treat the pneumonia? Or would the person say, honey, if I get to that point and I'm not competent anymore and I get pneumonia, maybe you want to just back off on the treatment and let my body do what my body's going to do.
I mean, you can forget how to eat.
Yes.
Forget how to swallow. It's amazing how the disease progresses so much. So anyway, we got a couple minutes more. Hope, so I know the Conversation Project, you have all the information on your website as well?
We do. We have all the information. We have links, and it's all free and downloadable. We also have the advanced directive. We have information on tube feeding, on CPR. We have all kinds of resources that are free to download. We are happy to come out into the community and do these starter kits and talk about the documents, talk about what matters most. We're happy to go out into the community. We do free presentations for senior groups, for book club, for church groups. Whoever wants us to come out, we'll be happy to come out and do that with you.
So how to get a hold of you, Hope?
So easiest way is to go online to our website and then go through that. But you can always reach me directly at hope@kokuamau.org.
And if they don't use email?
They can call me. They can always call me. My number is 221-2970.
That's one thing we always want to make sure. You'd be surprised how many people are not on the web, whatever reason. But Rosemary, thank you so much. We want to get you on our Generations TV show. And very shortly, and I'm not too sure if we've done an article in the magazine, but we'd love to do an article on the Conversation Project. But thank you for coming to Hawaii. And, you know, I loved your passion for life and your passion for this Conversation Project. It's really, really important. So, guys, pay attention out there, and we'll talk to you next week. As always, aloha and live well.